The pass request was brought up in group meeting a few days later. The same day, in fact, that Workman put a new glass window in front of the big nurse's desk. And after his request had been turned down on the grounds that this Miss Starr didn't seem like the most wholesome person for a patient to go pass with, he shrugged and said that's how she bounces, I guess, and got up and walked to the nurse's station, to the window that still had the sticker from the glass company down in the corner, and ran his fist through it again. Explained to the nurse while blood poured from his fingers that he thought the cardboard had been left out and the frame was open. When did they sneak that dang glass in there? Why, that thing is a menace. The nurse taped his hand in the station while Scanlon and Harding dug the cardboard out of the garbage and taped it back in the frame, using adhesive from the same roll the nurse was bandaging McMurphy's wrist and fingers with. McMurphy sat on a stool, grimacing something awful while he got his cuts tended, winking at Scanlon and Harding over the nurse's head. The expression on her face was calm and blank as enamel, but the strain was beginning to show in other ways. By the way she jerked the adhesive tight as she could, showing her remote patience wasn't what it used to be. We got to go to the gym and watch our basketball team. Harding, Billy Bibbitt, Scanlon, Fredrickson, Martini, and McMurphy, whenever his hand would stop bleeding long enough for him to get in the game, play a team of aides. Our two big black boys played for the aides. They were the best players on the court, running up and down the floor together like a pair of shadows in red trunks, scoring basket after basket with mechanical accuracy. Our team was too short and too slow, and Martini kept throwing passes to men that nobody but him could see, and the aides beat us by 20 points. But something happened that let most of us come away feeling there'd been a kind of victory anyhow. In one scramble for the ball, our big black boy named Washington got cracked with somebody's elbow, and his team had to hold him back as he stood straining to where McMurphy was sitting on the ball, not paying the least bit of heed to the thrashing black boy with red pouring out of his big nose and down his chest like paint splashed on a blackboard, and hollering to the guys holding him, "He begging for it! The son of a bitch just begging for it!" McMurphy composed more notes for the nurse to find in the latrine with her mirror. He wrote long, outlandish tales about himself in the logbook and signed them Anon. Sometimes he slept till 8 o'clock. She would reprimand him, without heed at all, and he would stand and listen till she was finished and then destroy her whole effect by asking something like, did she wear a B cup, he wondered, or a C cup, or any old cup at all? The other acutes were beginning to follow his lead. Harding began flirting with all the student nurses, and Billy Bibbitt completely quit writing what he used to call his observations in the logbook. And when the window in front of her desk got replaced again, with a big X across it in whitewash to make sure McMurphy didn't have any excuse for not knowing it was there, Scanlon did it in by accidentally bouncing our basketball through it before the whitewashed X was even dry. The ball punctured, and Martini picked it up off the floor like a dead bird and carried it to the nurse in the station, where she was staring at the new splash of broken glass all over her desk, and asked couldn't she please fix it with tape or something, make it well again? Without a word, she jerked it out of his hand and stuffed it in the garbage.